Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
That's right, folks. Get in the mood. It's the most highly anticipated episode of the Rosecast in our 7-month history. I'm your host, Tim Kennedy. With me, as always, bachelor enthusiast. I really should do a better job of looking up synonyms for connoisseur, but AB.
Yes, sir.
How's it going, man? How you feeling?
I'm spent.
You tired of this? About had it?
I'm out of gas, Rim. Got nothing left to give this season. Sucked the life out of me.
It was quite a finale, AB. We had Rachel, our bachelorette. She entered the season riding, would you say, an unprecedented wave of positivity and goodwill?
No one could possibly say a bad thing about the girl coming into the season.
She had America's sympathy after she was spurned by the thoughtless moron, Nick Vial. She demonstrated sharp intellect and a willingness to be honest and transparent throughout the process, AB. And we showered her with praise, deserving praise, as she became the Jackie Robinson of network reality TV dating shows, which is a lot bigger deal than it sounds. She was the first Black Bachelorette, AB.
Incredible.
All the boxes were checked to have a perfect season.
We loved her.
Past tense.
look at Riven AB now, ready to embark on basically a Comedy Central roast of these two contestants.
America's least favorite couple.
Yeah.
She threw it all away last night, AB. All that goodwill, all that positivity, all that popularity, it's gone. She picked the guy we knew she was going to be with all along, and in the process, not only broke the hearts of two, most viewers would say, better contestants, but just went full heel and threw some petty barbs in Peter's direction along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full-on heel turn, or maybe just the true Rachel finally came out. And America, I'll speak on behalf of America, we didn't like what we saw, AB.
Do you think that... I was thinking about this after the finale when I'm sitting there steaming mad at Rachel. I hate her. Do you think being the Bachelor, Bachelorette just lends itself to, by the end of it, you're going to be sick of that person? Because if you look back, we haven't really liked anyone except for Ben, who's...
At the end.
Tremendous. Yeah, at the end, we didn't like JoJo at the end. We damn sure didn't like Nick Vial at the end. And now we don't like Rachel at the end.
Yeah, probably. Just the way that they're portrayed, because they have to, ABC has to sell the lead to us as someone we can all love. And then inevitably along the way, they're going to alienate larger and larger chunks of the fan base with their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And two, they live in a bubble. Like Rachel has been living in this bubble and can't seem to understand why people don't like Brian. And it's like, we got a laundry list of reasons. You're just too busy flying in helicopters in the Alps and visiting churches in the Spanish mountains to realize, like, to see the people for who they actually are, right? So I'm with you. It's very, very difficult. They do not have a high batting percentage in terms of people who start likable and end likable.
Yep.
As the lead. So anyway, yeah, I mean, it was a dramatic fall from grace, AB. I mean, she was America's sweetheart. Dare I say a role model for young women across the world. I don't think that's telling any tales out of school to call Rachel Lindsay a role model.
Absolutely not. Yeah. But now, if my daughter showed up and was acting like Rachel acted for the last couple months with a guy, I would be extremely disappointed.
Yeah, it was sad to see, you know, a once promising tale of true reality TV love, which is hard to come by these days, AB.
I hear you.
Anyway, so let's just talk about this episode. It was 3 hours long with After the Final Rose kind of being interspersed. You think 3 hours long, Rim and AB are going to be talking in our ear for 2 hours. No, that's not the case. This will probably be an average length episode because the majority of the finale was nothing. Outside of the big Peter and Rachel showdown and outside of a few interesting things and After the Final Rose stuff, it was a mostly kind of airless finale. Would you agree?
None of the dates really stand out. I'll give you that. So no. a lot of the time didn't really, nothing to talk about there.
The dates didn't stand out, and they didn't make that big of a deal of the overnight suites.
Yep, agreed.
They were just like, all right, here's the card, and then, you know, boom, the light switch turns off, go to commercial, come back, frying eggs, we got closer last night. It's time to make a decision. Like, they almost didn't even need to show any of that, honestly.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Let's get into the episode, as we are known to do. Break it down each and every way. The Phil Steele of The Bachelorette. The Mel Kiper Jr. of The Bachelorette. Rachel joins Chris on After the Final Rose. What's going on? Why do you think they did this, AB? Why do you think we watched the finale with Rachel?
I don't know. It was just they've been doing weird things off the beaten path with everything with Rachel. They had her come on for the finale of last season of The Bachelor to meet some of the guys. That was weird. It's been a different season. Hasn't followed the mold.
Do you think it's because they knew that the content of the episode outside of the Peter portions was really boring? And watching her watch reactions was interesting. And also to get that like immediate feedback from her after the Peter scene.
I think it's a great idea to have them come out and watch it.
Sure.
With Chris.
I think a lot of things they did this season were great ideas. Make the dudes visit hometowns and then visit her family and then still be together. Why not? Who says no to that? I mean, it's entertaining.
Yep.
Also, the only reason I also brought this up is Juan Pablo got married, I guess. I mean, who gives a fuck, frankly? Why did they make a...
Juan Pablo, the most hated guy of all time on this series.
Yeah.
No one cares if he's...
We already know there's going to be a shitty couple to come out of the other side of this. Why are you going to tell us about Juan Pablo, another presumably shitty couple, too? Chris was like, Juan Pablo texted us, and he was like, hey, can you tell everybody I'm married? So Juan Pablo's married. And like, light golf clap. Like, no one no one cares.
Hey, say what you want about Chris Harrison, though, Rim. We've been roasting his ass continuously for multiple seasons about how he has the easiest cush job, mostly out of jealousy, pure jealousy from us.
No question.
The guy is a tremendous live studio audience host. I don't think that's deniable. He asks the hard-hitting questions. He gets the emotion. He drags the emotion out of you.
Oh, he extracts it. He's a surgeon with the emotion extraction. Mm-hmm. He's right up there just below. He's not Ryan Seacrest. But he's in the tier below for sure. And that's a good tier to be in. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Peter and Rachel's last one-on-one date. This was our cliffhanger from the end of last episode. So we'll do a quick recap because... Folks, they legitimately just replayed the first 5 minutes of the scene, or the 5 minutes of the scene. I mean, it was just, for the first 20 minutes of the show, there were literally nothing happened. Peter wants to pursue a life with Rachel, but he's not sure he can propose after 3 dates. Rachel's devastated. Peter pretty much says, thanks for being devastated, aka thanks for showing these emotions. And then Rachel's like, we need more time, and then they get the fantasy suite. Basically, the cliffhanger from 2 weeks ago turned out to be nothing at all, AB. Fight, fantasy suite, bing, bang, boom, you're fired, Ed. What do you got on Peter and Rachel's quick unsettlingly quick reconciliation after what we thought was like the end of it for Peter last time.
I told you that I think it was going to be a producer fucking with the tapes here like they always do. I mean, I said it wasn't going to be that big a deal this time. Now, what happened later in the episode was exactly what we anticipated happening at the start of this episode. But there's, yeah, I mean, gave Peter the fantasy suite. Big deal.
It was, I don't know. This was one of those moments for me as a relatively new watcher of the show in the last 2 years. I just looked around like, did anyone else? I actually watched with a couple other people the finale last night, which I don't usually do. And I was looking around like, did anybody else see how, like, this doesn't make any sense? You guys understand? Like, am I watching the same show? It was basically like, all right, well, we're at a complete and total stalemate. Both of us are being very stubborn. We're unlikely to come to a mutual agreement in the next 24 to 48 hours, which is our deadline. So here's a written invitation to my hotel room, which is decorated with candles and rose petals. Like, you're not gonna, neither of you are willing to budge on this. Why don't you just call it quits? Like, I mean,
I don't understand why. I thought Peter was done for sure after this. I mean, they didn't come to any sort of common ground on what they're going to do. So I anticipated him going home still.
Yeah, I did too.
We do get a little insight into Rachel on why she's so stubborn about the engagement, though, Rim. She mentioned she was in a 5-year relationship in the past that the person never wanted to take it to that next level. So she's worried about that Peter might be that same person because she said that he reminds her of him. So,
yeah, that's, fair point, I suppose. I guess the difference is maybe that was a 5-year relationship and this has been 3 dates over the course of 2 months while you date other guys. I don't know. Like, you can't compare the little apples and oranges, in my opinion.
The inability of Rachel being able to decipher the difference in real life in this whatever we're doing here was shocking to me. She's a smart lawyer and she can't even comprehend why Peter feels the way he does,
why he would be hesitant at all.
Yeah,
like, well, and we'll talk a little bit about this later, but her rationale is like, I'm putting myself out there, you know, in this journey. And I'm ready to do this. If we've made it this far, then anyone else who's made it this far should be willing to go all the way with me too, in terms of getting married. And it's like, there's no guarantee that's going to happen. And I guess if that's your requirement, then you gotta nip the ones who aren't willing to do that. But
I'm with you.
Anyway, we got the typical post fantasy suite shots. Couple, cracking eggs and making the bacon. Peter's shirtless. Surprised I didn't show Peter's front torso. I was looking forward to see the front torso, but that's just me. I don't know about y'all ladies out there. We got we got Rachel holding the coffee mug with two hands. You know how girls be holding coffee mugs, like, with two hands going like. And then Rachel says, I feel like this extra time together was really good for us. But we're still at opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to a proposal. So what other categories did you benefit or improve if you're still at a complete stalemate to the only thing that matters? Let's keep it moving to the Brian and Rachel date, which ABC teased as very awkward and potentially, you know, Brian stumbling at the last just before the finish line. It was awkward, AB. That is true. And it was awkward because, you know, they had to talk about stuff. Did this awkward date between Brian and Rachel put any doubt in your mind? Did you think maybe Peter was slowly creeping ahead of Brian in the race?
A little bit. She was in her own head. It wasn't the passionate Brian and Rachel that we've seen all season. So, yeah, I thought Peter might have got to her a little bit in the fantasy suites. Talk some sense into her.
Chris Harrison even asked Rachel, how close were you to turning down that fantasy suite or even breaking up with Peter that night? Rachel says, hey, you know, I was right there.
Yeah.
And this to me is where the watching live with the Bachelorette concept kind of falls apart for me. Like, that seemed like a huge, when she said that seemed like a huge indicator of
that
who she
wasn't going to win. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she was like, I almost broke up with Peter that at that point, which is okay. So guessing, I mean, there's still Eric left at that point too. So I'm guessing Peter doesn't win. It's kind of a silly thing to say while the finale's on.
Well, that's what you can, that's the risk you take having a live watch party like that and asking the questions of the Bachelor or Bachelorette, because they could easily fumble on their words and spoil something even worse than this. She could have easily spoiled something.
Maybe that's why they did it with her and not like JoJo.
Yeah.
Because Rachel is like, Rachel can handle the high pressure situation.
For sure.
Brian and Rachel dinner time, which appeared to be in a Crate and Barrel that went out of business. The main topic of conversation here was how distracted Rachel seemed. So basically Brian and Rachel talked about how Rachel was being weird. And then they agree that she's being weird, and then they go to the fantasy suite. Anything else of this Brian and Rachel nighttime?
No, nothing at all. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Rim, we didn't talk about, they did a little horseback riding earlier in the episode.
Sure.
I was secretly hoping that he would get bucked off his horse in like a, have you ever seen that Full House episode with Michelle Tanner gets bucked off and like loses her memory? Ever seen that episode?
I vaguely remember that, which is ironic. Yeah, so I thought maybe she hurt her leg or something.
No, Michelle was bucked off a horse and landed on her head and lost her memory and couldn't remember anybody. So I was hoping Brian would get bucked off his horse, get knocked out, concussion. Not serious injury here. I'm not wishing Brian would die, but would lose his memory in a Michelle Tanner situation.
Yeah, no, like, we don't want him to die, but, like, CTE would be okay. How old was Michelle when that happened?
She was young. She was, like, 8.
God, scary episode.
It was one of those, I'll tell you what, Full House.
That was scary,
it's a great
man.
Show, but that episode always stands out to me as one of those real eye-opening, scary sitcom episodes.
Well, like the old Saved by the Bell, when Jesse's addicted to caffeine pills.
Yep, you know what exactly. I mean?
Just like takes you out of the moment. You go, whoa, life is real out there, folks.
Life is tough.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, Brian didn't get bucked off the horse. He made it to dinner time. Gets the fantasy suite card. Brian's fantasy suite is like mad, like, you know, playa. You know what I mean? Like, it's just decked out in like the Miami. It looked like they're in Miami. They transported from Spain to Miami. It says, I love you. I'm in love with you. And whatever happens, happens. And then they make out. And then I don't know how ABC does. I don't know who the audio engineer is, but I feel bad for him because he's got to go in there and like amplify the saliva smacking noises from their makeouts that you can hear it. Because you can hear it. And I don't know if it's real or fake, but they put it in there. Somebody had to put it in there. And I feel bad for that person. Post-fantasy suite. AB, what's the sleazeballiest, slimeballiest, kind of douchiest thing you could say post-fantasy suite? When you're the third fantasy suite, I might add, for context. What's like the grossest thing you could say? Or like the most embarrassing thing you could say?
I don't remember. What did he say?
He said the chemistry is hotter than ever, AB. You're trying to marry this woman, Mr. Sloppy Seconds. Don't forget about Sloppy Seconds. It's been a long season, but he said Sloppy Seconds on the Ellen TV show, a morning show, I might add. And then he said the chemistry is hotter than ever. It's like, Brian, what about like taking your relationship to the next level, making a connection with this woman you love, and preparing to spend your whole life with her? He's like, nah, man, we got hot. It's hot and heavy. You know me, the Bri guy.
Brian's fantasy suite was exactly what we anticipated it being, which was all physical and no talk about what they're going to do afterwards.
None. Gross. Nobody liked that. No viewer in America was like, oh, finally, Brian and Rachel. So glad these two kids kind of got together. Anyway, Brian stinks. He's a slime ball. On to the rose ceremony. Remember Eric, AB? Eric's there.
Forgot about him.
Yep, totally forgot about him. Been 2 weeks since we saw him. Leading up to the rose ceremony, I mean, number one, who were you expecting to go home at that point?
Peter. Because of what Rachel said on the live ceremony, I thought he was going home.
That would make sense because her number one criteria is you have to be willing to bend the knee, Daenerys Lindsay, and... Well, you're not caught up. That's a fucking super topical Game of Thrones reference, and I wish you watched within 3 weeks of the marrying. Number one criteria is that you need to propose She's got two guys who are willing to do that and one guy who's not. And she gives a rose to the one guy who will not propose, Peter.
And she gives a gigantic speech right before she gives out the roses about how she needs an engagement. You aren't making any sense here.
She basically had a zero tolerance policy for non-proposing ass dudes. Said, listen, whoever gets this rose, contractually obligated to propose to me. And she gave it to Peter anyway. Folks, why do we watch this show? I tell you what. Anyway, Eric doesn't get a rose. They go off and have a little talk, and she hits on the just vintage late game, you don't get a rose breakup lines on this show, which is, I have strong feelings for you. It's really hard to say goodbye. I just have stronger feelings for the other mm-hmm. people remaining. That's classic number one. Classic number two is, it's not that I don't love you. It's that I'm not in love with you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Trademark Nick Vial. Has been here and done that with that line. What'd you think of Eric's reaction?
Eric handled it like an absolute gentleman. Couldn't have handled it better. We watched Eric grow up before our very eyes, Rim, into a legitimate bachelor contestant, like you've said, and an overall good guy. Remember early Eric? He's popping off in the house.
Get your name out of my mouth.
Yeah, get your name out of my mouth, guy. Super childish about a bunch of different things. Now he's like that cool, smooth. And it all came with the beard. I'll tell you that much, Rim. Can we talk about Eric's awesome beard?
I have a note on that. It's good.
And in emotional intelligence.
Man, Eric really did go kind of, take this with a grain of salt, but he went from straight Urkel to Stefan Urkel. Yeah, you know what I mean? Current Eric is Stefan Urkel, the smoothest motherfucker in the game.
Looks so good at that beard.
He takes the high road too. Mm-hmm. Early season Eric would not expect him to have taken this high road. Not at all. He says, I'll always love you, which is just hearts melted, AB. Even though he's, positioning himself to be the next Bachelor, I'm not even mad at it. No. I think he did a great job with the breakup.
Absolutely. Couldn't have done better. And then even back in the studio, he did amazing there, too. Killed mm-hmm. it.
In the car, he said, I'm just going to miss her, man. Like, he's not crying like, well, I'll never find love, or well, I didn't win, or he's like, the show stinks. He's like, I'm going to miss hanging out with Rachel. He really liked hanging out with Rachel.
It kind of, Eric and Rachel, we've thought all along, or at least I have, that they seemed a little bit more like friends than, a couple. Mm-hmm. And I think that really played out here. I just don't think she had that romantic interest in them. They were obviously the most compatible and had the most fun when they were together.
Sure.
But that's not what apparently Rachel's looking for.
How about fucking Brian slithering on up to Rachel when she comes back and giving her a hug and a handle? God, what was that about? First off, it's weird that she even had to return to the two guys standing there. And then I guess you have to do something. You're not just going to stand there, but it's Brian. I was put off by him.
He slides up there with his fucking cheap ass Miami coat with no tie on. Slides up on her, gives her a hug. It creeps me out.
Well, Eric didn't wear a tie either, but yeah, I'm with you on that. The guy stinks.
Well, I'll roast Eric too. He's wearing a V-neck white T-shirt underneath his suit jacket. That's not where you show up for a 31-year-old.
I'm going to disagree. I'd do something like that. With Peter and Brian left, are we still doing this?
Yeah, I'm just saying, Rim. Peter showed up dressed to the nines, looking like a grown man. And then these two, you got Brian showing up in a cheap-ass, polyester suit.
Bellhop,
And then you got Eric showing up with a suit jacket and a white T-shirt underneath. Who are you going to choose? You want a man or a boy?
Yeah. At this point, with Peter and Brian left, we've had this sizzling under the radar tension between these two. Peter clearly, based on what he said back at the house, it became clear that Peter has never liked Brian. His strong feelings of skepticism and almost hatred towards Brian. I was really hoping that storyline would pop up out of nowhere and be a quick little hour-long storyline. Like, not only are these two competing for the love of the same woman, but they hate each other.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't come to fruition. I thought that really juiced up, but that could have really juiced up the last hour or so.
I agree. I think they missed an opportunity there.
Let's talk quick about Rachel and Eric in the hot seat at the studio. My first note is the fucking his beard. I mean, made the ladies in the place with style and grace go bananas. AB, that beard.
It was a secret.
People look better with beards.
It was a secret weapon. He pulled it out late in the season, and it made him go farther. And now he's gonna be the Bachelor.
Well, and it's so much thicker now than it was then. I mean, this is if you're gonna try and like sell yourself as the bat, like. If regular ass Eric from episode one would have came to this after the final roast, we'd be like, all right, like we're good on Eric. But he came with like a new Rachel. Fresh look, and people were like, I could see Eric being the Bachelor.
That beard changed my opinion on the man completely.
Well, you know, you said man, AB, and Eric himself thinks that falling in love with Rachel turned him from a boy to a man. I mean, he took a bad situation. He made chicken salad out of chicken shit here.
I agree.
The only thing that gives me pause about him being a contender for The Bachelor is just based simply on the amount of time they gave him on stage. Like, he was on stage for like 4 minutes. And they're like, anyway, Chris Harrison was like, it was good to meet you. Like, not maybe we'll see you again in the future. It was just like, all right, shuffle him off to the side here.
I think they genuinely do not know right now who they're going to have, though. It seems like one of those situations where there's no clear-cut person. It could be like one of 10 people.
Yeah, I think so, too. Back to Brian and Rachel, I suppose. They get dates. They normally get dates after at this point.
Yeah. Yep. So this is usually where the episode actually starts. Most final episodes start at this point where we're after the final rose ceremony. They've done all the fantasy suites. So this one was just pushed back a little bit. They just have those two last dates with the two people that are left.
Brian and Rachel. All I got on this is that Brian is wearing a terrible leather jacket. All terrible. All sheen. I mean, it was almost like patent leather. Doesn't have the natural, just you know trash. How leather has like natural mini like kind of crinkles in it, like cuz you know, we're talking about animal skin here, folks. That jacket was either $20 or $2,000. There's no in between there. I thought the jacket stunk.
That shit was fake. He showed up with fake cheeks, fake hair, and a fucking fake leather jacket.
Yep, that's Miami for you. what'd you think of the corny-ass Spanish dictionary he made? Or he had somebody make, probably. He didn't have that good of handwriting.
No one has duped someone into thinking they know a language better than Brian has. He never says anything that's outside of very basic first week of Spanish 1 in high school Spanish. Never. This is like on the first worksheet you get of like you have to write the English word next to it. It's those are the words that he's saying. He says buenos dias. That's what he says. Or yeah. Fantastico or you know.
Do you want to be my esposa?
Yeah. It's just this guy doesn't know Spanish.
I said it was probably the dictionary that he uses day to day because he doesn't know any of these main words that he's trying to these basic words he's trying to teach her. Also, would you say that at this point, like Brian knows Spanish and Rachel doesn't is like the one thing they have, and it's a very weak thing. She doesn't seem that interested in knowing Spanish.
Anytime he says anything in Spanish, she melts for some reason, and that's the only thing they have going for them.
His whole family speaks English. There's no, like, practical reason why she needs to learn Spanish. It's just something that they talk about. It'd be like if you were dating a girl and be like, let me teach you the rules of basketball. And she's like, ha, like, but secretly she didn't give a fuck about basketball. And that's all you had. And then you're going to marry each other. All right. Anything else on these two scumbags?
Rachel and Brian? No. Got nothing more for those two.
All right. Well, Peter, here we go, AB. Here we go.
Buckle in.
We're inching closer towards the most dramatic moment of the season. Peter and Rachel are on a date. They go to a church. They talk to a Spanish priest about marriage.
Did you notice Peter pulled up in like a sensible minivan? I thought it was very Peter style.
Yeah, They've been using some different kind of cars here. They're not all like Escalade and shit. They're like Chevy Windstars.
I swear to God, just a regular middle of the pack van for some reason.
Kind of weird because it was like borderline off-roading to get to that location.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Anyway, Rachel is just hung up. She seemed very inconvenienced by the fact that she's dealing with, in quotes, someone who isn't sure they'll propose at the end of this journey, AB. So she's got two guys left, and she's like, oh, I just can't believe one of these guys isn't sure if he's going to marry me, basically. Okay, two things, baby girl. Number one, you chose Peter to be there. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you didn't want to deal with someone who isn't sure about marriage, you could have sent him his ass packing, right? And kept a guy who told you he would propose if given the opportunity. So that's a you dealing with that. That sounds like a you problem, yeah, not a Pete problem. Two, in the real world, which I understand this is not the real world, but in the real world, you can't demand someone promise a proposal when there's a 50-50 chance that you'll not be with them 24 hours later. I hate to bring common sense into the bachelorette world, but that's basic courtesy, I'd say.
In the middle of it, he even asked her, you know, are you willing to profess your love to me right now? Or...
Yeah, that's like, a little later. He was like, hey,
that was later.
Say what you can't say then. I'll agree.
Shit, I'll marry you if you do this.
If you break up with Brian right now.
Yeah. Maybe it's reasonable, Rachel, that Peter wants you not to have two boyfriends when he asks you to marry him. Is that maybe wait a couple months? That seems very reasonable, everything Peter's saying. Maybe let's get rid of your other boyfriend, then we can talk about marriage.
Yeah, not only get rid of your other boyfriend, but also, like, let's put some distance between your previous boyfriends and my proposal to spend the rest of my life with you. Like, let's just get that at least an arm's length away, which is, what, probably 3 months, maybe? Go to some football games and farmers markets and figure it out first. The proposal would be like the promise of the proposal thing. And I know there are some people out there, AB, who don't agree with our take on this. They, you know, devil's advocate. I'll be the devil's advocate. I'll put their hat on right now. Peter knew that he was coming onto a show where this was what your expectation is. So even though we're all looking at what Peter's saying, we're going, it makes total sense. He's being regional. He's the only person who's ever been rational on this TV show.
Yep.
It is still a TV show, and everyone knows you get to the top two, you better be willing to get down on one knee.
Here's the thing, though, Rim. I agree with everything you said there. He should have known, and they were both on opposite sides of the thing, completely stuck in the mud. Neither of them would move. I think Peter's opinion was a little too far that way, and Rachel's was too far the other way, you know? Too far from the norm.
Where would they move?
Where would they move?
Like, you're saying they're on the opposite ends of the spectrum, and they're not going to move. Like, how do they inch closer to each other?
They're opposite sides of the spectrum. I'm saying both of them are, like, farther than the reasonable level of the opinion that they're taking. You know, Peter has gone too far in not being willing to propose, because he has this idea that you can only be engaged once. Like, being engaged actually isn't being married. It's not looked at the same way as a divorce.
It's not the same.
Would be. So
I get it, though, but he didn't want to do a proposal that he knew he didn't want to have. He doesn't want to have a meaningless engagement or a potentially meaningless proposal.
I'm not saying I don't get it, and I would lean more towards his level of thinking than Rachel's. I'm on Peter's side here, but I can also understand where Rachel's coming off. But Rachel being a smart girl, I would have anticipated her understanding that someone could have this opinion and being okay with it instead of it being an end-all, do-all.
That was kind of the weird thing. We know Rachel is smart, but she seemed like literally unable to comprehend how,
exactly,
how someone could say what Peter's saying. Like, everybody understood what Peter was saying. And she was like, I just don't have any clarity. And it's like, no, he's being extremely clear with you. He's not going to propose tomorrow.
He's not.
He wants to be your boyfriend for a while and then marry you. That's what he wants to do.
He sees a long-term relationship with you, but he wants to get out of this, you know, this fairy tale before he actually puts a ring on it, which is reasonable.
Yeah. Now, Peter tells her about the things that he envisions, like you mentioned, which are all normal things that, like, committed couples do. You know, sure. We're going to football, specifically farmers markets, AD.
Yep.
The disconnect occurs when Rachel takes those visions and says, well, why don't we just get married then? Like, why aren't you willing to take that step to get to that point where we're, you know, together forever? But Rachel, he's not guaranteeing those things will happen. He just hopes they will happen. He wants to try living that life with you because you haven't had, at this point, you haven't lived together. You haven't existed in the real world yet. And he's basically saying, I want to go into the real world and live a life together. And then if it works, we will get married.
The other thing that I thought was frustrating was she kept comparing Peter to whoever her past relationship was that didn't marry her after 5 years. And she couldn't, like you said, she could not comprehend that these are different scenarios, completely different. Like this, that was in real life and you dated for 5 years and never got engaged. This has been 3 weeks and you're on a reality TV show. Like, you can't lump Peter and that guy together. It's just, that's not fair.
Not fair. Now, I'll defend Rachel a little bit and say that she probably comprehended it. She was portrayed as not being able to understand the difference.
I'm sure it was
she probably
worse than,
did.
Yeah,
I'm sure it wasn't as bad, but still, watching it was like, why doesn't she get it? Anyway, let's go to the final showdown. This is it, AB. The most dramatic. This was the crescendo, the climax of the show. The most dramatic, emotional moments in the whole season. Nighttime. She comes over to the crib, I suppose. Nighttime date. Tells Rachel, I am in love with you.
Period.
Rachel at this... Period. End of sentence. Rachel at this point was still pissed, though. And the way she looked at it, after that big reveal, she was looking at him like, and? Like, what else? And like, whoa. But these feelings are so recent, he says. And I don't feel I'm ready to ask you to marry me tomorrow. So basically the same thing he said the last time they were together at the beginning of the episode on a nighttime date.
If you think about it, usually... The steps of a relationship is like boyfriend, girlfriend, then you might fall in love with each other, and then way later comes an engagement. But for what Rachel wants, she wants it to be, I love you, and then that during that same time period, you're getting engaged. It's missing a ton of time.
I love you, engagement.
Yeah.
We can be boyfriend, girlfriend for 2 years if we want, but then you have to guarantee marriage.
Like, this guy just said he loved you, like, last week. That's, if you look at what happens in normal life, that's not, usually you wouldn't expect an engagement shortly after.
Here's a quote of hers that kind of caught me. She says, I don't want to repeat what I've had in past relationships, like you mentioned. Let's say I agree to date you and be committed to you. What guarantee do I have that it will ever leave that stage? None. You don't have the guarantee. No one in life has that guarantee. That's the risk you take. You put trust in a person, and if you're willing to grow and establish a life with them, then you take the risk. Your chances of marriage are high if you proceed that way. If you don't trust the person and you don't know much about them and then take the risk, the chances of marriage are lower. So who do you want? Peter O'Brien. Who do you want to spend the rest of your life with? Peter O'Brien. Don't base this decision on whether or not someone's going to ask you a fucking question tomorrow. AB, your thoughts.
Rachel, do you want a 3-month engagement or do you want a 60-year marriage? Which one are you preferring?
Well, AB, there he goes.
Which one do you want? Because this engagement isn't going to make it to the altar. Let me just say that.
Yeah, we're going to do our official predictions for the relationship at the end of the episode.
Spoiler
so stay
alert,
tuned for
it's
that,
not
going to
work
but,
out.
But Rim and AB are bullish on the future of Rachel and Brian, to say the least. AB, anyway, back to this moment. Peter's getting emotional, AB. My biggest issue with Peter up until this point was, number one, that he's stupid boring. He's boring. Watching paint dry boring. And he's not very animated, I guess. Mm-hmm. His voice, he's kind of drones on every situation, whether he's, you know, like playing handball or talking to Rachel about their future, is kind of like, I see this with you and football games and farmers markets. But this was real. This was real. I wanted it to be anyway. This seemed like real life, AB. Peter, his voice is changing. He's crying. His eyes are watering.
These guys are having a legitimate argument, an argument a couple would have. And Peter's laying it all on the line. He's going all in at this moment. Like, this is it. One way or the other, something's happening here. Either a home run or a strikeout.
The quote you alluded to earlier, the big money quote, question, I'll say, do you know for a fact that I'm the person you want to spend the rest of your life with? Basically saying, like, pretend the cameras aren't here. Fuck, are you going to fucking pick me or not?
Fuck all this. You want me to make this statement about you? Where's your statement?
Exactly. And she says, I can't answer that question because probably millions of dollars are on the line.
She can't answer that. No, she can't do that.
And eventually, though, Peter gets to a point where he's like, fine, I'll do it, but only so I don't lose you. Like, he has this rule that is a hard and fast rule, but he loves Rachel, and he's willing to break that rule that means so much to him because he believes Rachel is the one for him.
He's compromising.
Rachel is over here. Rachel's over here. Brian's way over here. And Brian went 95% of the way. And Rachel still didn't budge.
He went right into the middle where he needed to be.
Exactly.
I thought he was being too stuck in his ways this entire time for a reality TV show. But he eventually decided to compromise.
And how did Rachel respond, AB? What did Rachel give in return? What was her compromise?
Her compromise was basically she did not want him to do that, even though she's been asking him to say that he would get engaged with her for the last 2 weeks. He finally says it. She doesn't want him to do that because she would feel resentment to him. Hmm. Okay, so Rachel, you just wanted this to be an easy breakup because he wouldn't get engaged to you, and you really wanted Brian all along. Can we agree on that?
No. Rachel loves Peter, AB. Did you not get that sense during this moment?
I did.
Okay, no. Maybe she was looking for a way out. Maybe she had already decided on Brian and she was looking for a way out with Peter. I don't think that's the case, but let's say it is. Even while she was doing that and pulling off that scheme, she realized, "Oh my God, Peter's right. I don't want to be with Brian. I would have an amazing life with him if I would just compromise on this one little thing and live a great, you know, like you said, 6-year marriage instead of a 3-month engagement." I think she realized that in this moment.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called StoryWorth. StoryWorth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase. Here's an exchange, AB. I need you to tell me where this ranks among the all-time barbs in this show.
I feel like you don't know what you want to do.
Like I don't.
I want somebody who knows what they want to do.
Great. Then go find someone who have a mediocre life with.
Burn.
Where is that among the all-time burns from one contestant to another when they're behind their back?
That one is right below the Nick Viall, if you weren't in love with me, why did you make love with me?
Oh, yeah.
Right below it, next tier down, but one of the top barbs of all time.
I'd put it above it because Nick had like 6 months to come up with that line. He was dropping this bomb in the moment.
If you want to have a mediocre ass life with this slime ball, go ahead. But with Z, it's about to be on point.
That's what sucked is they could have played up the Peter hates Brian angle more. Like, because he's taking shots at him when he's not in the room. That could have been very entertaining. Peter says, I don't know what I want to do tomorrow. Because that one day means the rest of my life. And Rachel says, I can't do tomorrow if you're just going to tell me you want to be my boyfriend. They kind of mumble out the rest of this conversation, AB. And he says, you know, if you change your mind, you know where you can find me. And at the time, I thought, okay, these two love each other too much to say goodbye.
At this point, I thought for sure something, there's going to be a curveball here. Something, he's not actually going home. This guy's the winner.
AB, this was the only time the whole season where I thought Peter pulled ahead of Brian. I thought this was such a loving, emotional moment that I thought he hit a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth inning, a walk-off. Because he got to bat last, too, so the analogy extends further. AB, let's talk a little bit about this goodbye. He hit her. She was leaving. She's walking to the door, and they stop, and then they start kissing, AB. Have you ever seen romance portrayed so beautifully? I mean, he says, I love you, Rachel, and she's crying. Like, her eyelashes are gone at this point. She's crying, and she says, I love you, too. Whoa. And I'm thinking, like, I'm looking around like, folks, this is it. This is the big moment.
This is it.
She can't say goodbye. She is bawling, AB. And I got to tell you, watching it the second time, which we do around here, it was even more emotional.
Peter gives her a goodbye kiss for the ages. And I thought the kiss saved everything. Like,
it was the best kiss of the season. I usually rag on the kisses on this show. That kiss was the height of the best romantic movie you've ever seen. It was Jack and Rose. It was right up there with all the legendary kisses. Harry Met Sally, all of them. It was right up there with those kisses, AB. I got goosebumps, AB. It was raining outside. We got Peter crying his eyes out. I mean, it was peak, peak Bachelorette. It was the height after this boring ass episode, after the season marred by controversies that have nothing to do with love, after the Bachelor in Paradise thing that took our focus onto some sexual assault nonsense. Here we go, and we got peak Bachelorette. Nothing was better to me on this season or any season that I've seen than this moment between these two.
It doesn't get any better than this. It does not. This is what you watch for, moments like this.
Rachel even said to the camera after she left, Peter's got me asking. Two quotes, AB. Two quotes. Given the context of the situation, two quotes that made me think there's still a chance. She said, Peter's got me asking, am I forcing myself to do something I don't want to do? Mm-hmm. Which, yes, yeah, of course you are. You absolutely are doing that. And number two, she said, I feel like I could be making a mistake.
Yeah.
All this context, watching this, I mean, watching this true love on display for America to see, I did not believe that they broke up. Instead, I thought they were at a crossroads that could be maybe resolved the next day in dramatic fashion with a proposal from Peter. He said, last night was so incredible that I just can't imagine living a day without you. And we all just cry and watch see the best finale we've ever seen. They went back to Chris Harrison. And then they go to commercial and said, Peter and Rachel are about to see each other for the first time since that devastating breakup. I was
stunned.
Totally confused. Were you with me or am I done?
Well, I was. I thought something was going to happen. I really did think there was going to be a curveball here with Peter. But when he sat down on the floor and he's crying and he has that what's wrong with me moment and they played that up, his bachelor moment, basically.
Yeah.
I thought it was over. That was it.
So you knew at that point that he wasn't going to go to a final anything with her. You knew the other. Because I didn't know until Chris Harrison said it, like, laid it out. Yeah. They broke up. I was like, wait, they broke up? I thought that was the best thing that anyone's ever done.
Listen, this just falls back on Rachel again being way too sensual when she's breaking up with people. Like, have you ever seen a breakup kiss like that? That would have been the best kiss of anyone's life. And that was your breakup kiss?
Yeah, that was good stuff. It was good stuff. That's true. I mean, she's kissed a bunch of dudes when they're getting in the limos. Like, all right, Matt, whom we've never seen. Their first kiss was the goodbye kiss, like, I'm Kenny. Pretty sure. Jack Stone, probably, for all we know. I mean, she's out here making out with all the dudes she's sending home. I mean, even after the commercial, during the commercial break, AB, I thought Chris Harrison was still going to pull one over on us. I thought there was a chance that this was just like the craziest swerve of all time and that Peter and Rachel were actually going to end up together and that there's going to be some sort of proposal and that after the final rose with these two. I thought the fix was in there. My conspiracy antenna was maxed out. But when Peter came out and the body language between these two on that couch, it was bad. You knew it was really over.
These two do not like each other anymore.
She was icy. Icy. Ice queen. She scooted away from him, stared some daggers through him, rolled her eyes at his answers. It was something like I've never seen. It didn't look like the last time these two saw each other, they shared the most romantic moment of all time. Peter looked like he was about to cry on stage, AB. He talked a bit about, you know, how frustrated he was that he couldn't get to that point of a proposal with her. His inner struggle. His thoughts. His opinions. And Rachel used that opportunity to just fucking bring the claws out. And begin one of the more, I'd say, disappointing Bachelor heel turns in history. I mean, this is when Rachel went from, I don't know about your decision-making, Rachel, to, okay, Rachel's actually very rude to somebody that everybody likes and who doesn't deserve it. First, she claims she realized in Geneva that Peter wouldn't be ready, which doesn't hold water because she sent two guys home between that moment and when she sent Peter home. Then she claims that her this was the most spurious claim of all. She claimed that her emotion during their breakup was more about her previous relationship and not as much about Peter. Ooh. You know, trying to downplay how much, you know, it seemed like she loved Peter. Because she just watched that for the first time with all of us. Yeah. And I was watching this with our pal Wade, loyal listener, and he described it perfectly. He said Rachel got caught red-handed in love. She got caught in love.
It's a good
like
way
everyone
to put it.
Saw it, and then she was just like, oh god, everyone knows how much I love Peter now, but I'm gonna marry Brian. Now I have to act like Peter stinks. Rocking a hard place. Tried to, like any good lawyer though, she tried to spin zone her way out of it.
She said I love you to him after sharing the best kiss of the season. She hasn't told I love you to anyone. Bachelor and bachelorettes don't say the words I love you unless your name is fucking Ben. The moron.
It was the best. Shout out, Ben. It was the best I love you. This is a good point. She hadn't said it to anyone else. Instead, she was just kind of collecting I love yous from these other guys and using them on like a point scale for how she was evaluating everyone. It was the best I love you exchange I've seen on this show and the best I love you of the season. He said, I love you, Rachel. Man, this shit was romantic. I got to tell you, it gets me fired up every time. And then she looks up at him, you know, like all eyes all watery and stuff. She's been crying. She said, I love you too. And she almost whispered it like she didn't want the cameras to pick it up. But we got you. You got caught in love, all right? Like, she probably thought they weren't going to show that, or she probably thought, you know, maybe they didn't hear or something. But no, Rachel, we saw you say that to Peter. Don't quit lying to yourself.
You're tripping.
But back at the, you know, back at the, after the final rose,
back in the
Peter's
studio.
Out there fucking, back in the studio. Peter's out here stone-faced. Rachel is angry. And AB, attorneys are extremely skilled at controlling, you know, not only their message, but the message of the other person in the room. That's literally their job, to get, especially, you know, a trial court attorney, to get the person to say what you want them to say so that you win. And Rachel lawyered the shit out of Peter on that couch, AB. Peter explained his emotions. He explained his reasoning for the way he felt, and why he struggled with maybe some of the outside factors, the stresses that we don't really think about, the families, you know, the time periods, the where you're going to live, all that stuff. And Rachel said, I don't think that's what it was. Well, you can't really debate what Peter was feeling, but if you're going to try and...
But thanks for chiming in.
Yeah, she proceeded to tell Peter how he felt and why he acted the way he did. Like, almost putting words in the... No, this is actually what you are trying to do. And AB, Bachelor Nation turned into a courtroom in that moment. Peter's on the stand, accused of committing the worst crime in Bachelorland. Refusing to let love in, AB. You have to be willing to let love in. You
gotta be.
Rachel, the prosecuting attorney, and the audience in studio and at home, the whole of America, comprised the jury. And Rachel, in her mind right there, knew that she had to convince us, the jury, beyond a reasonable doubt that Peter is the one at fault here. He was the one who chose not to let love in his life, whether to benefit from future pursuits or otherwise. And that's when she tried to paint Peter in the worst possible light and really kind of nip in the bud any potential bachelor exploits he hoped to pursue in the future.
She threw some big time shade at Peter in regards to The Bachelor, and I will never forgive her for that.
No, it was blatant.
Yeah. She says maybe the show isn't for Peter. Well, he's still trying to be The Bachelor, so maybe... Why don't you take the high road here, Rachel?
Let him do his thing. Maybe go live your life. If you're living your best life, maybe just let him do his thing, too. This is...
Did you get the feeling that she was just still super salty about that mediocre life comment?
I think she was super salty about that, but also... AB, she had no choice really but to bury Peter because she can't at all make it seem like she still had feelings for Peter or she wished they didn't break up, because 10 minutes later Brian's coming out and they have to sell that relationship to the world, and she has to spend she's saying she's going to spend the rest of her life with Brian. So she's taking this opportunity to paint Peter in the most negative light possible, because that's the most beneficial to her. She doesn't really feel these things. She knows that Peter would probably be a great bachelor, but she doesn't want anyone to think that Peter is deserving of their adoration. She wants to take all of that goodwill, take it from people directing it to Brian, and kind of shine the mirror so it angles over to, or excuse me, to Peter, and then make sure that's directed towards Brian instead, because that's her man. And she wants to be remembered as a good bachelorette who made the right choice. But I don't think she can override the feelings of America, AB.
No, no.
What did you make of Rachel saying, I'm living my best life?
It just felt like she was just salty about what he said. That's what I took it as. She's just being petty.
AB, let's talk about Rachel's best life. Shall we?
I would love to.
Let's take a journey over to VIPswag.com and enter the Brian Abasolo collection. This is the life you chose, Rachel. You got Peter, who owns a growing chain of personal training fitness centers. And then you ended up with Brian, who will probably be barred from practicing chiropractic soon, and who now sells totes, mugs, cosmetic bags, and phone cases with sketches of his abs on them, AB.
Calls himself Dr. Abs on here.
Dr. Abs. You chose to be with Dr. Abs. AB, side note, Brian doesn't even have as good abs as Peter.
No,
my
opinion. Close.
About half this disgusting... Who would... Number one, who would purchase this? Who? Who? Let me get a tote bag with a guy with a sketch of a guy's torso on there, and then the phrase Dr. Abs. About half the merch has the phrase "Find yourself a Jerome,"
which is
the code name Rachel used. Jerome is the code name that Rachel used for Brian in interviews in the lead up to this finale.
Oh,
okay. So find yourself a Jerome, meaning, you know, find your true love. Guess what, Brian and Rachel? No one wants to find themselves a sleazebag, fake-cheeked creep like Jerome. No, that's not anyone's goal. That's no one's relationship goal, okay? Look at the swag, AB. We got a t-shirt with abs on it. What are we doing out here?
This is a fucking joke, Brian.
This is a joke. This is a
fucking joke.
I thought Dr. Abasolo over here is selling tote bags with his abs on them. That's who Rachel chose. VIP swag. He's 37. Folks.
Come on, people.
Rachel is an accomplished attorney. And this is the life he's into. They are like Nick and Vanessa, only much, much worse. And I never thought I'd say that.
Much worse.
Anyway, so shout out to VIPswag.com. Go ahead and check. What I want all Rosecast listeners to do is go check that out. And then, I don't know, a good little scheme to do would be everybody put a bunch of stuff in your cart and then X out. That way, people who run these websites, they can see how much stuff people left in their cart unattended. And if we get that number real high and then people don't buy anything, I think that would be funny. Make Brian feel like he's about to get that cash and he's not. Anyway, the Brian Abasolo collection on VIPswag.com.
This is your life, Rachel.
This is where we're at. AB, it goes back to what we said. Brian represents everything that people, that critics of the show like to mock. And he made it to the end and he won. And now we're fans of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, who had such high hopes for this season with a high-class lady. We're caught with our pants down, and people who may think the show is dumb are pointing and laughing at us for watching this nonsense. And they have good reason to, because we invested a lot of time into this show and emotion into this show, and we got the stupid result that no one likes, and now we look silly. And now we're sitting here asking ourselves, what are we doing with our lives talking about this dumbass show? Fuck Brian Abasolo. No disrespect.
I'll tell you what, though, Rim. Even until the last moments, the proposal... I still was holding out hope that something would happen. I don't know what it was going to be because I just watched Peter and her get into it. So they're obviously not together. But I thought, like, I don't know, Kevin Durant hopping out of a vehicle with a ring or something. Just something.
Yeah. I was hoping Nick Vial honestly. I was hoping Nick Vial because he's an upgrade over Brian. I thought he'd take a helicopter in and propose. Anyway, shout out to all the Twitter followers who follow the Twitter handle RoseCastES who sent us that. It was a lot. It was a lot. Most of the mentions this morning have been, did you see the VIP swag? Did you see the Brian Abasolo collection? And I'm like, unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, we did see that, and it's the worst.
I saw a tweet that I thought was good. The tweet said that Peter won the popular vote and Brian won the Electoral College.
Yeah. All right. We still got Peter on the hot seat. He's got to sit down there, look down, and not say anything. I mean, Peter's in a very tough spot here, AB, and we haven't talked about this much, but his attitude about the proposal is totally reasonable, but at the same time, he can't shit on the concept of the show.
No. Yeah.
Because he clearly wants to be The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he thinks this is silly, you know, you'll never hear him say, I can't propose to someone after only a few weeks.
Yeah.
Because he wants to do that with a different, you know, from the different side. Peter said he asked if he could reach back out to Rachel, and he was told the answer was no. Do you got anything on that? What do you think that means?
I think it means Peter, while he was still there before the engagement, asked producers if Rachel would be okay with him showing back up and maybe speaking his piece. And she said flat out no.
Do you think there's a possibility that Peter wanted to reach back out to her well after?
Yeah, it could be.
Because he did say, if you change your mind, you know where to find me. I.e., I have Instagram, basically.
Yeah.
All right, you want to talk about this proposal?
Not really.
Me neither. I got a couple jokes. Was this the worst proposal you've ever seen?
For all the passion that they had all season, the proposal was trash. There's no juice to it.
Number one, he chose an ugly ring. You know, it looked like a teardrop might be in style now. I don't know. I wasn't enamored with it. It was very windy out, and I'm glad her moment was ruined. The post-proposal kiss was repulsive, as expected. Disgusting, I'd say. Enough with the hands around the sides of the skull. It's weird, Brian.
Speaks some corny-ass Spanish, and that was pretty much it. I mean, nothing to this proposal. It made me want to puke.
Yeah,
it was bad. Understand me?
Okay, I was on the laptop tweeting from the Twitter account, and I think I did a bunch. I tried to do a bunch of puke emojis, and I sent them out, a bunch of them. You know, with the yellow circle face emojis. And the green puke coming out. The problem is it showed up on phones as a bunch of question marks. So people, and the vast majority of people were probably on their phones. So I missed puke opportunity there, and I really regret that.
This was throw up in your mouth proposal. That's what this made me do.
I might take a break from recording and go get a couple Tums, because I feel that acidic feeling in my throat right now.
This is a true nightmare of a scenario. The only saving grace for all of this is that they'd completely cut past all the stuff they usually do. Like the Neil Lang thing lasted literally 3 seconds. Yeah. Neil Lang opened the door and then that was it. They didn't show him picking a ring. They didn't show any lead up to it. That lasted like the whole thing was probably like 3 minutes.
What was so confusing about the last like 20 or 30 minutes or so is that ABC did not seem to realize that most viewers don't like Brian and that we're not interested in this awful fairy tale. Like you can't shove this down our throat. People are booing across the nation during these last 20 minutes as they try to sell us on this love. At one point they came back from a commercial break and Brian and Rachel were making out on the couch. Like as they came back from the like, oh, check it out. The camera. I was like, Rachel,
the whole thing made me want to puke. Made me physically sick.
And the dagger, the twist of the knife from Rachel in America's gut, collective gut, was when Chris goes, so what's your future hold? And Rachel's basically like, I don't know, we haven't really talked about any wedding stuff. Like, they haven't planned any of the wedding. Okay, so why did you make such a big deal out of the proposal? We're not rushing anything. We just want to build our lives together, you know, like live like normal people for a while. So literally exactly what Peter said. Unbelievable. Anything else on this episode? The worst, the best and worst finale of all time.
Like you said, Rim, I can't wait for the fucking bill collectors and mobsters to show up at their wedding to fucking break Brian's legs because he owes them money because of VIPswag.com.
Oh, he definitely bought like $1 million in inventory.
Yeah.
It's just sitting in
got a couple
Miami
investors,
condo.
Got a couple
oh man.
You know, seedy investors.
Okay. AB, let's wrap it up. We got a couple final thoughts. We got a couple announcements. We're so glad you listened. We're so glad you stuck through the finale with us, cuz I bet after it was Peter went off the screen, the ratings plummeted, AB. Number one, predictions for this couple. How long do you think it'll last?
2 months.
I think it's going to last however long you think it's going to last. I say multiply it by 5 because I think Rachel is so stubborn and wants to
That's true.
Wants everyone to think that this is the fairy tale and she made the right choice. I think she will do whatever it takes to keep it lasting longer than it probably should.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Maybe quietly get divorced in the middle of another season a year or two from now.
Yeah. You think do you think they'll get married?
No, I said divorced. I shouldn't have. These two are not getting married. Final thoughts on Rachel. We put her on a pedestal early, AB. We called early in middle of Nick's season that she could be the first black bachelorette. We were high on Rachel from the beginning throughout the early episodes of this season. Final thoughts on her.
She did a terrible job as the bachelorette. She did a terrible job. She chose the worst possible guy she could come in with. She let go of all the favorites. She had horrible breakups along the way.
She let go of a lot of good guys and kept guys that no one knew.
Yeah, and that's not even getting into the bizarre order of who she, like, Aunt getting let go, like, 10 episodes too early.
Yeah.
Not even getting into that.
All right. Well, I'm kind of tired of talking about Rachel and Brian. I don't know about you. So we're ready to move on, AB.
Time for some fun.
Let's have some fun. Let's just relax. Like, the muscles have been tense for so long. Last hour, I've been just like grinding my hands. Like, if I were holding on to anything, I would grind it to dust right now. I'm so just intense. But let's do something fun, AB. Let's have, if you're willing, a next Bachelor fantasy draft. A little quick bonus pod, because this is an interesting scenario in that we don't know who the next lead is, and we won't until after Bachelor in Paradise. So Rim and AB are going to combine our two favorite things, which is Bachelor and fantasy drafts, and pick who we think will be the next Bachelor. And we'll put that out maybe later this week, early next week, figure something out. In the meantime, if you like the chemistry, and how could you not, on display by these two, the number one interracial best friend duo, Bachelor Recap Podcast, we have another podcast too that you could listen to too. It's non-Bachelor related talk called The Rimcast. So if you're interested in that, that's also on Apple Podcasts. And if you have some time and if you really, really like it, I give it a B-, but if you're a true fan and you can't get enough, we humbly request that maybe you give us a nice rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Not only do we like reading them, but it helps other people discover the podcast. So we'll leave some instructions in the episode description on how to do that. AB, you got anything else? Did I miss anything?
You think we should take our talents to the Bachelor in Paradise television show?
I don't know, AB. First off, that joke would have really worked if you knew the location of the Bachelor in Paradise beach. But I get what you're saying. Shout out LeBron James. I don't know, AB.
It's in Mexico. It's in Mexico.
All right, AB, should we take our talents to Mexico, south of the border?
Listen, I would have said yes, for sure. I'm in. This is going to be fun. But this shit starts next Monday.
I need a break, don't
Can
you?
Can the kids get a break?
Well, we'll do. How about this? We'll do it if there's an overwhelming response, either on Twitter or Facebook, or email or whoever, if you know us, text us. If there's an overwhelming response to where it can't be ignored, maybe we'll take a stab at it. I've never seen the show before, so it'll be interesting to watch. But I don't know. If there's not, I mean, we might just say forget it and see you next Bachelor. I don't know. We'll
people
see.
Don't want it. They don't want it.
We give the people what they want. We don't give the people things they don't want.
No.
Right?
Never so, that.
Anyway, as always, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks for sharing with your friends. We had a good time this season. Overall, even though it kind of left a poor taste in our mouths, this was a fun season. Good characters, good guys, fun drama. You're giving me a look like, I don't know, Rim. Wasn't that fun? It was a good season.
It's hard to call it fun when you have the sinking feeling in your stomach that last night's episode left me. So, yeah, we had a good time, though.
Yeah, other than, like, the 2 hours of impending dread I felt while watching the finale, other than that, it was a delightful experience.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.